Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to another episode of Montgomery's Meaningful Monday. How you feel?
I feel good.
You sure?
You know, a little tired. A little tired, but excited to continue our series.
Mm-hmm.
Excited for what the Lord is doing, and just for the confirmation, just to let the listeners know, the word that we talked about last week, we ended with James 3, and today at church, James 3 was literally the passage that was preached about, and for me, that was just confirmation, and just the whole service at our church today was just about our tongues and talking about even just the gift that we've been given of breath and honoring our breath and honoring our words and just the whole service.
Yeah, everything was good, from even the worship music. Like when they played that Jonathan McReynolds, Maverick City,
Breathe,
I was like, whoa, like
just breathe.
You know, everything was about how we speak.
Yes, and even the other song, it's your breath in our lungs, and we'll pour out your praise, we'll pour out your praise. And just kind of them trying to get us to remember to be mindful of what comes out of our mouths, right? And how we talked about last week, and also the pastor was touching on, you know, salt water and fresh water can't come out of the same spring.
Yep.
And we can't have praise and cursing coming out of our mouths. Oh, we bless the Lord with one breath, but then we curse our neighbor with the next, right?
Yep.
Those things should not be. And so all of that was just confirmation and leading up into today's episode as we continue our series.
Yeah, this was a, this is kind of like a next steps from communicating, from talking, from just, you know, effective communication. Now we're moving into the next phase of, okay, don't just talk about it. Let's now be about it.
Yeah. Put it into work, put it into
putting
practice.
Putting it into action, put it into practice.
Yes,
just like what James says in James chapter 1. Like, he's all about action.
Yeah.
He's all about just getting it done. Don't just say that you're going to do something. Don't say it, but actually do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, from that'll be our scripture basis is from James chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And then we have five ways in which we can get out of what we call the talking phase.
Yeah.
When it comes to life. I mean, and relationships too. We'll touch on that, but we're talking about just life in general and how to get out of that talking phase of just always talking about it instead of just being about it.
Yeah.
So, ready to go?
Sure. All right. We are looking at James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. It's going to be a little bit of my version and a lot of Holman Christian Standard version, because I want to connect the word to what, you know, we are trying to discuss here today. So starting at verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." And so with that, hearers, also not just those who are speaking, because a lot of times we memorize Bible verses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to memorize them, we're able to quote them on spot, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, if you're at a church and say, what's one of the most popular, "For God so loved the world," you're mm-hmm. instantly ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know the rest of that verse. And so just how it's saying, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. I want to also say not speakers only, not just those who have memorized and able to quote off, you know, scripture like that, but let's be doers.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Bree putting in an extra little dose. Okay. I'm going to say it again. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word," or just speaking the word, "and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away and immediately forgets the kind of man he was.
Mm.
But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserves in it and is not a forgetful hearer or just a speaker, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does.
What he does.
All right, now.
That's important. It's the part of him just getting up, looking at himself in the mirror, realizing he got sleep in his eye, mm-hmm. bags under his eyes, boogies all hanging out his nose, lips chapped, crust everywhere, hair matted, looks at himself and just, you know, just says, all right, let me go on to work, and just gets up and forgets. Immediately gets up and forgets what he looked like, that he needs to wash up. Mm. Yeah.
Or, and you can look at it like this too, the looking into the mirror is like, we can have it be, because we are supposed to reflect Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are to be a reflection of him. We are to be representatives of him. And when we look into the word and when we are going to church and when we are going to Bible study and all these things, these are mirrors of, okay, this is what I should be, right? Yeah. I should be obeying his word. I should be loving my neighbor. I should be taking in and caring for orphans and widows and all of these things. And it's like we have all these mirrors, but then we go away or we turn away and we go into real life where we are to act it out and do it, and we're not doing it. We forget the mirrors that we were looking at. We forget what was talked about in Wednesday night Bible study. We forget about the devotion we read that morning. We forget about what was talked about in Sunday service, and we turn away.
Yeah.
You know, and do our own thing or do what's pleasing unto us, or we just, like it says, we forget who God has called us to be. We forget the kind of man or the kind of woman that God has desired for us to be, and we just choose to live recklessly or ratchet.
Yeah.
As I was saying.
So how do we go from just talking about it to being about it? Or how do we get out of what I like to call the talking phase,
yeah.
you know? And we say the talking phase because, you know, especially getting it from the term from like relationships where you always, you know, especially if you're single, and I was just never a big fan of, especially as I got older and I began to get more serious about my walk with the Lord, and just I just didn't have time for games. Get tired of the talking phase.
Yeah.
The phase where y'all just, you know, just talking to get to know you, especially after you've gone through a breakup and mm-hmm. things didn't go right, and now all of a sudden you go from getting to know this one person, then all of a sudden it doesn't work out, then now you gotta start all over and you gotta go through that talking phase.
And it's not to say, because it is important, and I know that you know that, and we, you know, yes, you want to get to know someone, because what we're going to do is kind of use relationships mm-hmm. to kind of be a mirror of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the talking phase is,
you know,
bigger than relationships. We do it with our health. We do it with our eating habits. We do it when it comes to working out. We do it when it comes to finances,
goal setting.
What's the big thing we do in the beginning of the year? People do like vision boards and affirmations and all this, like a lot of talk, a lot of, you know, consuming of information, but how much of that is actually acted out?
Right.
How much of that is actually fruit that we bear day to day and that we bear in that year that we have made just this big vision board, right? Or mm-hmm. we have set all the, well, I'm getting ahead of myself with the goal setting. But I just wanted to jump in because there is value in the talking phase, but the key word is phase.
Right.
A phase is not something that's supposed to last forever.
Right.
You should be going from one phase to the next.
Right.
Or from one part of your journey to the next part of your journey. From talking to doing, right?
Right.
From just mirroring to becoming.
Right.
What they say, you become what you behold. So we are beholding Christ, and there should be a point in our life where we actually become, you know, where we actually become those who bear his image truly.
Right.
Yeah, we are image bearers because we're made in his image. But in the spiritual realm, do we bear him?
Right.
Do we bear that image spiritually?
Okay. So what's one of the ways in which we can kind of transition out of the talking phase?
Okay. So the first one that popped into my head would be, so we worded it like this: 5 reasons why we stay in the talking phase. Mm-hmm. So looking at it in that way, we stay in the talking phase because we lack discipline, which means that we need discipline. And this goes for any talking phase that you may be in, or any place that you see where, man, I talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm struggling to put forth action.
Yeah.
You know, with me, I talk a lot about I'm dealing with bloating, right? Let's just be real. And I'm like, okay, I want to tone. I want to do better. I want to lose weight. But it's like, what's stopping me from talking and complaining and groaning to actually putting forth the work?
Yeah.
You know, purchasing the right foods, talking to my doctor, as you said earlier, working out, you know, in the first one, it is discipline.
Hey, y'all, this is James.
And Brianna.
And I want you all to do me a big favor. Get out your phone right now, and I want you to text this link to this podcast to your friend, to your coworker, to your family member, someone that you know that could be blessed by this podcast. Text it to them right now to share with them.
Yes, and also, if you're tuning in on Spotify and or Apple Music, be sure to give us a review and also a 5-star rating. That's how we can get more people involved in what we're doing and encouraged in the Lord. Y'all be blessed. And with that is we lack discipline. There's a lack of willingness or desire. Sometimes you have to pray, Lord, give me the desire to do this thing that is going to cause me to live a long life. It's going to cause me to be able to go out and do what he's called me to do. Because when we're not healthy, when our bodies aren't healthy, we can't just get up and go.
Yeah. My thing is, I always struggle with, especially with the discipline in all 4 seasons. And it could be for anything, but I'll use working out as an example. As far as what I mean by the 4 seasons, like, I'll be extra motivated when it's sunny out, when it's bright out, when the weather's nice, 70 degrees, or, you know, anything 70 and up. I'll be motivated to go out and to work out and go to the gym. But on them cold 32 and below days where it's raining, snowing, freezing, you know, those were the days where it's like, okay, now you got to show persevere. Where that discipline is. You got to persevere. Mm-hmm. You going to grab that, you know, you're going to grab that water bottle, grab your gym shoes and head out in 32 degree weather with the same energy that you did when it was bright and sunny and 85. You got to have that discipline in all 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And that can go with anything. That can go with goal setting. That can go with, you know, for my entrepreneurs, all that kind of stuff. You know, I know with me, when I was getting to learn more about being a photographer and just having a side business, we're just learning that the discipline that comes behind just being consistent with your business and treating it that way, treating it like it is like a legit business.
Yeah.
Because for, you know, months and like, you know, even like a couple of years, I just saw it as just like this side thing and not really just treating it with the discipline of actual business that I, you know, that I have, you know, that I'm treating it now.
Yeah.
And it's when we don't, and that's kind of going into the next one. But if we don't value it, then we won't be disciplined enough to pursue it in, you know, whatever that thing is, pursue
really
it in a meaningful way and to see it through.
Yeah.
If we don't see any value in it.
And one question that popped in my mind to just go along with that, you got to ask yourself, it goes back to, do you really want it?
Yeah.
So no matter what that is, no matter what you just can't find yourself putting forth effort towards, if it is your health, if it is your finances trying to save money, you know, whatever the case may be, because there's so many things that we just talk about.
Relationships.
Right? And of course, relationships. But it's like you have to ask yourself, because when we really want something, when we really, really want something, like we really be wanting the opposite, the bad stuff. Like I really be wanting the spicy nacho Doritos. I'm going to go get those spicy nacho Doritos because I really want them. And so it goes back to what? Renewing our minds. Yeah. Just like I want that, Lord, help me to want to work out. Lord, help me to want to eat healthy. Yeah. Lord, help me to want to
read my word.
Read my word, right? Lord, help me to want to
pray more.
To pray more, to love my neighbor, to love better, to be more patient, to bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, we can go to God and ask for these things because at the end of the day, it's going to be Him who gives us the ability to do what He's called us to do.
Yep.
Like, we don't just have the ability by ourselves. He gives us the ability.
Yeah.
And so
that goes into the second one, which is fear of being exposed or exploited. That was a interesting one for me, especially, and I'll use photography as a basis, because I know when I first started taking pictures, and I was just like learning my camera, I was like really just like I was afraid of being exposed as a fraud, especially when I did my first wedding.
Imposter syndrome.
That imposter syndrome. When I did my first wedding, which was my cousin's wedding, beautiful wedding. It was an outdoor wedding. And I was really afraid that I didn't know what I was doing. You know, although I've been studying, although I had been taking photos, although I had been practicing, you know, I still felt like that imposter and I still felt like that fraud. And then that in turn made me not want to do it. But it was nothing but through prayer and, you know, the Lord literally just pushing me out there that, I actually was able to do it. And, you know, the photos turned out amazing and, you know, it helped me to get over that fear of that imposter syndrome.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I feel like, that is very common and I see it talked about a lot, and that's something, you know, again, we can go back to the Lord with. Because perfect love casts out all fear. That is what in 1 John, or I know one of the Johns. I know somebody will correct me. But with that being said, you know, we go to Him. We say, Lord, like, remove this fear and replace it with Your love. Replace it with Your passion. Replace it with Your truth. And remind yourself, too, that this never gets old to me. Where I, you know, I don't know where it stemmed from, but it's so true. You know, God does not call the qualified.
He qualifies those
that He calls, right? Mm-hmm. He qualifies you. He will give you the skill. He will give you the ability. He will be the one to mature you in that area or in that thing that you want to grow in. He's going to mature you.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give you the ability, right? And the next two, one of them was already mentioned, but they kind of go hand in hand. So we're looking at five reasons why we stay in the talking phase.
Mm-hmm.
So no, when we don't have goals set, when there is no clear or defined goal, and when there's no accountability.
Yeah.
Both of those go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because 9 times out of 10, if you set a goal, depending on what the goal is, especially when it comes to working out or I want to lose a certain amount of weight, you would tell a friend, hey, you know, hold me accountable in this area. Make sure, you know, they go hand in hand. Setting the goals for whatever it looks like for you and whatever season you're in and whatever you desire to grow, wherever you're trying to be the best you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that be in relationships, if that be in your finances, if that be with your health, set a goal. And with that goal, find you an accountability partner.
Yeah. That even goes into spiritually, too, because one thing I've been learning, and this is something that I've kind of been learning in this business course that I've been taking, is that, you know, you want to set SMART goals.
Yeah.
and setting goals where they're defined, because you want to reach, especially for like business, you want to reach your target audience. Hmm. And you can kind of apply the same thing spiritually.
Yeah.
Jesus knew who he came to save. He came for those that were sinful, sick. He came for the, you know, the lowly. He didn't come for those that were high and mighty and were, you know, thought they were good upon their laurels and that they were quote unquote righteous people. But he came for the sinners, and we have to be the same way when we want to get out of the talking phase about our goals, aspirations, the things that we want to do. Like if you want to, let's say you want to read your Bible more, like be more specific. I want to read the entire Bible by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Or I want to read the whole book of Genesis by the end of the month, or by the end of the week, or by the end of the, you know, 2 weeks. Set yourself smart goals. And then also
be able to measure them.
Right, measure them. And then also hold yourself accountable, or get someone to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's key, because I know we, you know, just talking about it again from last week's episode, we wanted accountability in our relationship. So we had friends become our accountability partners.
When we were recording.
And, you know, when we were recording. And that's huge. Why? Because it also put us on, you know, the goal of marriage being that, that end goal.
Yes, that's it.
You know, if you're in a relationship and you want marriage as the end goal, define that.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be with someone, y'all two should have a defined relationship. Like what is the goal of this relationship? Why are we talking? Why are we going out on dates? Yeah. Why are we hanging out? Why are you trying to come over at X amount? Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Define it. And then after that, hold each other accountable.
Yeah. Or make sure that y'all have accountability partners.
Hold. Exactly.
Yeah. And the last one is not having the proper tools and or resources. And with that, we thought about just that lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have the tools or the resources you need, one thing that you were saying earlier, right, is you want to eat healthy, but you may not have the, what were you saying?
Yeah, so like, you know, for those that want to eat healthy, maybe you can't necessarily get to the spots that sell the healthy foods, like the Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, because you live in the inner city where your nearest grocery store is the poppy store or the bodega, where, you know, that's stuff that's processed corner store food, where it's nothing but, you know, processed foods, and that's not healthy. So sometimes it's because of a lack of resources when it comes to certain things.
Lack of availability
or a lack of knowledge, but that does not limit you from staying there. Mm-hmm. Just because you may have the lack doesn't mean that the Lord can't provide.
Yeah. Because even that can be prayed about.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, you know, the Lord, because all the Lord needs from us is the willingness.
Yeah.
If you're willing and you have the desire, he'll take care of everything else.
Because
he is the what? The provider. He'll provide for us.
Yeah. And, you know, Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But it's not because they don't have it that they're destroyed. No, they're destroyed because, as it continues, because you have rejected knowledge. Mm. I will also reject you. Sometimes, yes, you can be excuse for not having, but you can't be excused for not knowing when you've already been told.
Yeah.
You know, if I told you, hey, like eating that is bad for you, now you know, but if you choose to continue to eat that, like, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, I can see you eating it and you not knowing.
Yeah.
That's different. But, or I can see you doing something, you know, and you not knowing that what you're doing is the wrong way. But after you've known, now it's like, okay, now what are you going to do with that knowledge?
Yeah.
You know? And that's where we have to be better stewards of
Just the information that we're given, the tools that we're given. Because 9 times out of 10, we have what we need.
Yep.
But it's like, what are we doing with it?
What are we doing?
We think that we need more.
Mm-hmm.
And so where you may think, I lack the tools, I lack the resources. You have to remember, but you serve a God that lacks nothing.
Yeah.
There's no lack in him. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And so where you may see a lack, that's that same place, that same where you find yourself and you're saying, oh, there's a lack here. God may is seeing abundance. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, what do you have in your hand, right? Mm-hmm. Like the one, the lady, and all she was like, well, I just have a jar. I just have a jar. Was it oil?
She just had a cruise of oil.
A cruise of oil.
And Elijah came.
And Elijah came, right? But we see how what she saw as lack or as little, God saw it as abundance, and that's what it was. Yep. It was an abundance of oil that did not run out until she didn't need anymore.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
Now I was going to say, because the scripture literally says that the barrel was of food was not wasted, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, as he spake to Elijah. So, like, you know.
You are seeing lack, but what does God see?
He said, that's enough.
More than enough. And so, let's use what we have and let's go out there and make today
meaningful. In Jesus' name, y'all.